Good evening. It's Tuesday, June 7th, 2022. Early this year, we talked about biblical proverbs as being wise sayings. They are practical, easy to remember, and applicable to life. An idea proves to be practical when the theory of the idea is effective in our real life circumstances. In other words, the rule or principle is useful, functional, and serviceable. It's so much more than just mere knowledge of a thing. It's applying that knowledge and seeing it work in given situations. So today, we'll be looking at the practicality of God's wisdom. It is practical to the utmost superlative degree. And as we've worked in earlier teachings, there are no comparisons when it comes to God's wisdom. His wisdom is meant for application and use throughout the course of one's life. There is nothing to compare, nothing to outdo or even come close to the application of God's wisdom as we walk day to day, moment by moment. The book of Proverbs is a collection of practical counsel. Those proverbs, they give direction. They steer our thoughts and our hearts for successful interactions with God, even ourselves, and certainly for others. The guidance in Proverbs concerning speech, which we're really focusing on during this kind of broad time frame, they warn us what to avoid and lead us along the godly path for our thoughts, our actions, certainly our speech. The Proverbs do not tell us exactly what to say, but rather they illustrate the foundational components of righteous communications and living. It's hard to imagine that anyone would not want to have as much of God's wisdom as possible to occupy their brain and heart, to empower themselves to live a practical, successful, powerful life. And it would be void of that draining emotional drama that plays out in the world every day. We see it. We see it in the news. We see it in our workplaces. We see it in many dysfunctional families, neighbors, everywhere. It's hard to imagine because really, all we have to do is ask. 1 James 1:5 in the King James Version. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. So if in our lives we realize that God's wisdom is lacking, we ask him. And the meaning of the word for ask, it indicates that the heart of the one asking, number one, realizes their deficiency, and number two, looks to God alone, who occupies the ultimate position to provide the supply. And as in all aspects of spiritual matters, our attitude of heart, our voluntary positioning of ourselves under the mighty hand of God is the qualifier. It's more than saying, hey God, I want some wisdom. We realize that true wisdom comes only from God. The New Living Translation reads for James 1:5, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. What a divine concept. Ask our generous God and he will give it to you. Talk about lifting a burden that we can sometimes carry just because of our perceived inadequacies and limitations. We do the asking. How simple to have our heart, our desires lined up with what God makes available to us? To know that He makes these promises and that He is faithful and that we trust Him? God does the hard part. He does the giving. And of course, it's not hard for Him at all. And for the record, the scripture says He is generous. You know, do we trust that God is generous and substantial in His giving to those who ask for an understanding heart, like King Solomon did in his early years when he was meek to God? Do we know and believe that He will give us wisdom in the moment? Do we really know and believe God is faithful? Do we count Him faithful? God does not upbraid, the word says, which means He's not going to scold, He's not going to rebuke or get ticked off at us asking. You want some of my wisdom? How dare you? No, that's not our Father. There's no berating us, insulting us, no scorn. It's just the opposite. Gosh, how pleased do you think God is when His children come before Him with a humble heart and ask wisdom of Him, with a pure attitude of heart, knowing that He is the only place to receive. He is the only one to inquire of and receive. It's God's nature to give liberally to all who ask. That's the nature of God. People all around the world, from all walks of life, they can have extensive knowledge, yet they make choices in life that cost them everything that really counts. Oh, you know, they might maintain their knowledge, they might maintain their wealth, but their worldly wisdom cost them perhaps their health or their relationships. They can be surrounded by the accumulation of objects and maybe even surrounded by other people, but their hearts are dissatisfied. They experience loneliness even in a crowd. James 3:17 in the Eastern Standard Version. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. Verse 18, and a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Now, I would say that's practicality. Who among us would not desire a harvest of righteousness? Well, verse 18 says, it is sown in peace by those who make peace. So here the word peace refers to harmony and unity between individuals. So let's look again in the book of Proverbs for the practical principles that make for peace, and especially in our verbiage, in our words, in our speech. The things that roll off of our tongues, that pass across our lips, they are succinct truths and they will direct our thoughts, our beliefs, our words, our actions, and they will lead us all the way to victory over that tongue that cannot be tamed. And I think I said the Eastern Standard Version. It's the English Standard Version. Sorry about that. But let's start in Proverbs 6, verse 20. It says, my son, keep your father's commandment and forsake not your mother's teaching. Bind them on your heart always. Tie them about your neck. When you walk, they will lead you. When you lie down, they will watch over you. And when you awake, they will talk with you. Now, I love to think of this verse, that there's not a time in my day, there's not a time in any 24-hour period when I'm not either walking, lying down, or awake. And here we have this wonderful promise. When we bind the word in our hearts, when we tie those scriptures ever in front of our face, around our neck, then my manner of life will be led by the scriptures I have kept in my heart. Absolutely. Verse 23 in the English Standard, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching a light, and the reproofs of discipline are the way of life, to preserve you from the evil woman, from the smooth tongue of the adulteress." Now remember, in Proverbs, the wisdom of God is exemplified by the virtuous woman, the one who is righteous, the one who demonstrates the wisdom of God. And the wisdom of this world is exemplified by the evil woman, the strange woman, or as it says here, the adulteress. In verse 23, Proverbs 16:23, in the Young's literal translation, "The heart of the wise causes his mouth to act wisely, and by his lips he increases learning." So the word we have kept in our heart and guarded causes us to act wisely. And in that sense, it keeps us. The word we guard guards us. We talked about that earlier. And in verse 24, Young's literal, "Sayings of pleasantness are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bone." Now, we've talked about honey in teachings before, but this verse is impactful to consider. You know, the honeycomb packaging is natural and edible. Individual compartments of the wax from the bees make up the honeycomb, and as those little individual compartments are filled with honey, the bees cap it off with more wax, and it seals the goodness inside. This raw honey, which is nothing like we experience today on the grocery shelves, the pure raw honey in the honeycomb brings amazing health benefits. Vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, collagen, calcium, proteins. And that raw honey has tested good for the immune system, for gut health, for strengthening bones, to improve sleep, cold and allergy symptoms, and it's even helpful as a sweetener for diabetics. And then, if it's applied topically, the raw honey aids in healing wounds or burns, scrapes. You know, I find it intriguing that the inside of our bones is also formed like a honeycomb. And having that honeycomb structure keeps our bones from weighing so much, but it also allows for storage for all of these things that happen within the interior of the bone. You know, we might think bones are essential because they provide our bodies a frame to support the body, but it's really much more. They facilitate our wide range of movements. They provide protection for some of our internal organs, and they're important for blood cell formation and, as I mentioned, storage of nutrients. And while it is interesting to know about the benefits of raw honey straight from the honeycomb, it is even more thought-provoking that God likens it to pleasant words. So, pleasant words and all of the benefits of the raw honey in the honeycomb, there's a connection here. And while it is fascinating to know the health benefits of the honeycomb, even more so to make the spiritual connections. You know, this is not a raw honey infomercial to get everybody out on the hunt for raw honey in the honeycomb. But I really want it to flood our minds with amazement at how pleasant, how our pleasant words are like a honeycomb. You know, they bring on the beauty of the Lord. They bring healing and health and freshness to our spiritual life. And then, of course, our spiritual life, just by the nature of God's design, it overflows into our physical bodies, just like the raw honey heals the flesh. And just like the honeycomb is sweet to the taste, so pleasant words are sweet to our soul and healing to our bones. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't try to get hold of some raw honey. I mean, definitely, the benefits are there. But please, please give time to think of this correlation. Think about what God is trying to communicate to us about our words, about what our words go forth and do, what they accomplish. Proverbs 15:4 in the Young's Literal, a healed tongue is a tree of life. We came into this world with the tongue that no man can tame. Yet, with God, the healed tongue is fresh. It's like a plant in the greenness of its springtime. Or it's like fresh running water as opposed to, you know, a stagnant puddle somewhere. See how instructive these scriptures are when we just take the time to read them and meditate upon them, and not just to put a check mark by the chapter that we read today? No, we have to give that thought. It's just fascinating and captivating to see the communications of God about His wisdom and about our words and the power that they have. You know, these instructive scriptures, they give us the foundation. Not a one of them tells us exactly what to say in a situation, but they teach us to respect the power of the tongue. And when we respect the power of the tongue as God has taught us, then we will want to exercise our responsibility by feeding our minds and hearts with the beauty of the Lord. We don't have to be so concerned about the exact words that we're going to say in a given situation, because we have the Holy Spirit inside. The gift within will bring those pleasant words, those proper words, those fit words into the conversation. It's God's wisdom is practical. This is the practicality of God's wisdom. We will speak for Him through the working of the Holy Spirit within our hearts, and those words will go forth and accomplish that which He sends them to do. Now, here is the alternative result. Proverbs 18:6, and this is the New International Version. The lips of a fool bring them strife, and their mouths invite a beating. I love this because it happens. Hey, I've had it happen to me. Your words just come back and beat the crap out of you. God doesn't beat the fool. That is not God's will, even for a fool. God would have the fool to become wise. That's His only desire for the fool. But by the fool's own words, he or she summons the evil spirit realm through their foolish talking to beat them into oblivion, if possible. But a healed tongue is a tree of life. And in Matthew chapter 8 is the record of the centurion coming to Jesus to get help for his servant. The particular circumstances of a leader having soldiers under his authority coming to Jesus and beseeching Him on behalf of his servant caused Jesus to marvel at the centurion's great faith. And the centurion said to Jesus, in Matthew 8:8 in the King James, "Speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed." So, did the centurion acknowledge that Jesus' words had power? Of course. You know, the centurion was, as Proverbs 12:25 in the King James, it says, "Heaviness in the heart of a man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad." And heaviness, gee, it could be any emotion. Fear, anxiety, sorrow, really any emotion we feel when we find ourselves between a rock and a hard spot. The painful reality of our situation can cause us to sink down. We can feel depressed, just kind of down and out. But a good word, words from the Lord that emphasize welfare, prosperity, happiness, and moral good, those words cause that heavy heart to be glad again. They lift that heavy heart back up, and that heavy heart can again rejoice in the truth of the word. In Proverbs 12:25 in the NIV, we read it just now in the King James, but in the NIV, it says, "Anxiety weighs down the heart, but a kind word cheers it up." In Proverbs 15:23, we see that the one speaking the cheer is just as blessed as the one receiving the cheer. Proverbs 15:23 in the NET Bible, the New English Translation. "A person has joy in giving an appropriate answer, and a word at the right time, how good it is." In Proverbs 10:20 in the NIV, "The tongue of the righteous is choice silver, but the heart of the wicked is of little value." Verse 21 continues, "The lips of the righteous nourish many." And the word for nourish brings us right back to the concept and the figure of speech about the care of the shepherd has for his sheep. How righteous words like pastor, shepherd, feed, keep, they're many. With righteous words at the helm, even anger can be turned away. Boy, how easy it is for anger to be inflamed, just to throw gas on the fire. In Proverbs 15:1 in the King James Version, "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger." You know, an answer, soft answer, an answer is a response or a reply. So it's not saying that this is the person who started the conversation. No, it's an answer. It's a response to something that is said to you. A soft answer. Now, the word soft indicates that the message, the answer, is gentle. And it is tender-hearted and from a place of God's love. The power of the reply comes from the faith in the heart of the speaker. And what is spoken is motivated by the word living in that heart and being directed by the Spirit of God to help another. Soft, it doesn't mean we bypass an issue when it is timely, or that we sugarcoat God's will. Not at all. The words could even be words of rebuke. Yet the power is gentle and tender-hearted. It's from faith behind the words that brings on that genuine power of God. You know, soft here has nothing to do with being namby-pamby, which means our words come from a lack of courage in our hearts, where the circumstances cause us to be timid and therefore ineffectual. You know, God looks upon the heart that is behind the words that we speak. In fact, He looks upon our heart and we receive the words that we speak. You know, what is the foundation within the heart? Have we built our hearts upon the rock of God's instructions for wisdom? If we have, we're going to be like that wise man which built his house upon a rock. And when that is all set, those rains descend, the floods of life come, and the winds blow and beat upon our minds, but our house will not fall because our hearts are founded upon the rock and our hearts will stand. You know, we've dug deep into the Word of God and laid our foundation thereupon. Words are powerful and they have the power of life or death. And God's foundation of wisdom is practical from the initial concept all the way to a victorious finale. And in the weeks to come, we will continue to work on the words we speak. Specifically, it'll kind of be in three categories. At least that's my understanding now as to how it might go. But it'll be our words to God, the words we speak to our Heavenly Father, the words we speak to ourselves. We hear a lot about self-talk, and we'll clear up some of that and get that biblically sound. And our words to each other, of course, enabling us to fulfill the first and great commandment. And let's look, let's read Mark 12:28 from the New King James Version. Then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked of Jesus, which is the first commandment of all? Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And in verse 31, and the second, like it, is this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. So these wonderful verses set the will of God for living powerfully in a chaotic and unreliable world. So love to you all, and God bless you.